Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the equity space, Craig Pfeiffer from Absa Stockbrokers and Portfolio Management. Craig, thanks so much joining us today. So that the trading day that was, in a nutshell, I guess. So what's been the highlight for you?
I think the highlights were more on the economic front today. I think the stocks continue to be mixed. We see, today these stocks are up, tomorrow they're down, and those that were down yesterday are up today. So a lot of them are tracking sideways and just have a little bit of intraday volatility or interday volatility.
Yeah.
But I guess the big news in terms of the large caps was probably that quarter one operational update out of BHP Billiton. I think the positive takeaways were that they haven't changed their guidance for the year in terms of costs. And their volume production still expected to be up about 7%. But as you said, most of those, apart from copper at Escondida, were down to flat.
Absolutely. And we saw that share price coming under pressure. Let's hone in on that macro scene that you highlighted at the top, because we've had both CPI numbers and retail sales data has filtered through. And on the one hand, CPI quickening at a faster pace and really coming in below expectations, where we've had retail sales data rising by 5.5%. So how do you start digesting what is seemingly conflicting data at this stage within the current economic climate?
Yeah, I think the CPI was largely as expected. I think the consensus was for around 5. I know our own house view was around 5.1, mostly predicated on the petrol price increase. We had a 64-odd cent increase in petrol. Diesel was up 44 cents in the month. So that, coupled with a bit of a low base and then higher meat prices as well, all of that adding to the CPI coming out at 5.1. But I think that's it. We've had two upticks, and it looks now for October, November, December, the CPI will now start going back down again. We're looking for it to finish the year somewhere around 4.5 and head a little lower then. Our low point is in February 2018. We're looking for around 4.2. Before then it starts picking up again.
Are you surprised that despite the fact that we've had inflation creeping higher, largely on the back of those petrol price increases, that consumers continue to spend?
Yeah, I think if we look at the bigger picture, that CPI is lower from the 6, even 7% that we had before. So I think there's an element of that lower inflation helping disposable incomes. And then also probably that small rate cut at the margin. We think 25 basis points, if you look at it on a year basis, puts probably about 3 billion rand into consumers' pockets in terms of disposable income. Not really that much. But these retail sales numbers definitely surprising everybody, I think. The resilience of them last month was positive, a positive surprise. So if I look at all of this, retail sales better than expected. Mining and manufacturing last week came out also better than expected. That was for August as well. So we've now shaped, we've got July and August of the third quarter, just 1 month to go. And it's starting to give us some upside, more positive upside risks or upside expectations to our original growth outlook for that third quarter, which
how
was
much of a curve
just above 0.3%.
How much of a curveball does the political movement we're seeing right now throw into this entire equation?
I think on that short-term growth front, not very much. But I think it has implications, and we'll see also in the medium-term budget policy statement next week on the currency and just the view that the ratings agencies have on us. Low growth environment, widening deficits undoubtedly, and political instability.
I ask the question because local companies under pressure and, that part of the ramification of all of this, in addition to that, foreigners have been selling in a big way, and they've been net sellers of South African shares amounting to, about 86 billion rand for this year so far. So do we see an intensification of that as we wrap this year up? Because, like you say, at the same time, we've got some positive economic data filtering through.
Yeah. And while that economic data is positive, it's not going to shoot the lights out. You know, I think we're still looking for around 0.6% growth for the year. The World Bank last week was 0.7. I think the Treasury is around 0.5. and we'll see what their new expectations are in the medium-term budget next week. But I think to your question, with the December, with the elections coming up 2019, with the elective conference coming up, I think there's a lot of uncertainty, political uncertainty. We just see what happened yesterday, coming out of left field again, that I think foreigners are going to err on the side of caution, and we probably will see more withdrawal of funds ahead of that.
How's a company like Stefanuti Stocks looking in your books? It's forecasting a decline of 20% in interim earnings, it says, due to higher taxes. And today, the company not seeming to be deterred by that.
Yeah, I think Stefanuti, I mean, in that construction space, it's a very small cap stock. Mm-hmm. But I think, to their point, operating profit up. So you can't ask more of a company than to grow your operating profit, actually the essence of what you do. But just that tax rate picking up and then impacting the bottom line.
Okay. Afrimat, very quickly, half year headline earnings per share could be between 5 and 10% higher than the previous period. What's your view on Afrimat?
Yeah, I think a modest increase. That whole construction space has been under pressure for a long, long time. We've seen a lot of cutting back of selling off non-core assets or what are perceived to now be non-core assets, and just streamlining those businesses. So I think some of that coming through, and also I think just getting the business model right, and that aggregate space as well.
Amidst it all, your stock pick at the moment?
Mondi, it's in our portfolio. It's been in our portfolios for a while. It's done fairly well this year. They came out with a quarter three trading update. Market very much disappointed. But I think it is an opportunity, and if there's any more weakness to get in there for the longer term, I think everything else is on track.
Well, let's leave it there. Craig, thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Craig Pfeiffer is with Absa Stockbrokers and Portfolio Management. Well, let's take a quick look at some global company news now. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has charged mining company Rio Tinto and two of its former top executives with fraud. It's alleged the company inflated its Mozambican assets and misrepresented the quality of coal it mined there. Let's take a look at this report before we cross over to our Frankfurt Stock Exchange for our global markets wrap.
A mining giant under fire. Rio Tinto and two of its former top executives charged with fraud by US authorities for allegedly inflating the value of its coal assets in Mozambique. The US Securities and Exchange Commission says Rio Tinto, former CEO Thomas Albanese, and former CFO Guy Elliott failed to accurately value and record its Mozambique assets, which were acquired for $3.7 billion in 2011 and sold a few years later for $50 million. The commission says that soon after Rio Tinto bought the assets, it discovered they'd produced less and lower quality coal than expected, allegedly making misleading public statements about them anyway to raise money for the sale. The mining giant has already paid a £27 million fine to UK authorities for breaching accounting rules in connection with the same Mozambique assets. Rio Tinto and the former executives say they will vigorously defend themselves against the accusations.
Well, European stocks gained today as falls in the euro and the pound helped exporters and offset disappointing financial updates from companies. This has led to some indices reaching record highs. And for more on this, let's cross to Bronwyn now, who's standing by with today's global markets report from the team at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Bronwyn.
Thanks, Alicia. Well, the Dow broke through the 23,000-point mark for the first time in its 121-year history, and it seems unstoppable at the moment. On the other side of the globe, the DAX is also on a similar run, and it's looking like a new record high is in sight. So for a closer look at what's happening in the global market scene, let's cross now to the Frankfurt Stock Exchange, where Conrad Buesen from Deutsche Welle is standing by. Conrad, I'm sure the mood on both sides of the Atlantic is quite euphoric if we look at the Dow and the DAX, but the question is, can it be sustained?
Well, You're right, Bronwyn. That's the big question. With every other record on the equity markets, the feeling on the trading floors that some sort of correction is about to happen is growing as well, especially as this is the month of October, a month which in the past often brought about negative events for the equity markets. The day tomorrow, 19th of October, will be the 30th anniversary of the Black Monday of 1987, the day when the Dow Jones Industrial Average Index lost more than 22%. I had to look in front of me on that sheet of paper where I noted down the number, 22% within only one day. And of course, superstitious people on the markets take this as a negative omen. On the other hand, a lot continuously speaks for shares, for company shares, for buying equities. The government bond yields and bond yields in general are really, really low, historically low. And the overall global growth rates of the economies are strong. So the argument for continuously rising stock market are also there.
Well, a point that is concerning some investors, though, is the NAFTA trade talks. They've seemingly hit a snag as the US, Canada and Mexico say there are significant details that still need to be ironed out. Mexico's peso has slumped more than 7% against the dollar as a result of that uncertainty over the pact, which makes it the worst performing emerging market currency over the past few months. And it seems the uncertainty is set to continue.
Absolutely. Up until yesterday, the plan was between the United States, Mexico and Canada that the renegotiating ends by the end of this year. But now the parties agreed that the talks continue at least into the first quarter of 2018. And all the things that we could hear about how those negotiations went so far are not very encouraging. The demands from the Americans are very tough. They, for example, want to renegotiate NAFTA every 5 years. They want more of a say when it comes to imposing trade barriers on certain products from Mexico and from Canada. And they also want to have the lion's share of the auto production within the United States. All of these factors are very difficult to accept by the Mexicans and by the Canadians.
Well, and China's Communist Party Congress is also something investors will be keeping an eye on, even though it seems it's more about politics than policy. So speaking to traders on your end, what will they be looking out for here, Conrad?
Well, sure, for market people, the most important piece of data will be coming out tomorrow. This is the update on the third quarter GDP of China. As you know, the question whether or not the Chinese economy is growing and whether or not the government in Beijing can reach its growth targets is so important for markets worldwide. China is the most important contributor to global growth. Everyone here will be focusing on that. Something else will also be interesting to hear, maybe not from President Xi Jinping himself, but on the sidelines of this Congress, there will be a lot of discussion about foreign investments. Remember how last year the Chinese investors and companies spent more than $220 billion for purchases, for takeovers abroad. This year, so far, the amount of money spent is much lower than this, and as this is related, you know, to policies, to business here in Europe, also to the question about debt in China, this will be a discussion closely watched and closely followed from here, listening to what's going on in Beijing.
Conrad, we have to leave it there for today, but we'll check in on those GDP numbers from China and we'll take a look at how all those superstitions played out on the market tomorrow. Conrad Wiesen is from Deutsche Welle, and that's just a quick look at what's been making headlines across the globe. Alicia, it's back to you.
Well, we're heading into a short break right now, and when we come back, we catch up with Jamil Ahmed, Vice President of Corporate Development and Market Research at FX. So don't go away. The rand's weakened against major currencies. On news that President Jacob Zuma has reshuffled his cabinet again. This is the second cabinet reshuffle in less than 7 months. And as the dollar gains ground, continuing its rally for the fifth day, as positive data continues to filter out of the U.S. When it comes to the pound, well, analysts are predicting a further weakening as the Bank of England's ability to sustain a tighter monetary policy is questioned. And for some analysis on the kind of currency moves we're seeing right now, I'm joined on the line by Jamil Ahmed, who's Vice President of Corporate Development and Market Research at FX. Thanks so much, Jamil, for joining us on the line this evening. So, barring the initial knee-jerk reaction, the rand showing limited sustained weakness as a result of South Africa's domestic politics, and more so as a result of dollar movement. Outside looking in, have investors simply become too attuned to our political shenanigans?
Oh, good evening, thank you very much for having me. So what we saw yesterday following the cabinet reshuffle was actually quite an interesting move, because the initial weakness in the South African rand did not actually look that severe. So on that basis, you could say that the rand is not that sensitive to the domestic politics. However, if you look at the performance of the rand today, and actually from the close of day yesterday, you will see some pretty significant weakness in the rand. So on one side, this could be investors pricing in some return to political risk elements. It could be the impact of government bonds perhaps falling. But if you look on the wider scale, you will see that the US dollar is also strengthening across the board. It's strengthening significantly this week, being some very big movements today in the dollar yen. And we've seen some quite sudden selling pressure in the price of gold. So that is a mixture of both investors pricing in some political premium and also a stronger dollar.
Yeah, the stronger dollar, of course, standing at the forefront at the moment, Jamil. The inherent risk, though, that comes with all the political jostling we're seeing right now is a downgrade further into junk territory on the back of all of this, political instability and fiscal slippage as well, and that threat coming to the fore. To what extent have you priced in that eventuality of a further downgrade to junk?
Actually, what we see in the currency right now, I wouldn't say that a further downgrade has been essentially priced at this stage. Any downgrades or warning signs would be seen as more weakness for the local economy. It will probably put more pressure on the local markets, whether that's the bonds, government bonds, treasuries, or whatever. And I would say that if there was another downgrade, it probably would lead to some more selling pressure. But over the medium and longer term, the rand direction will not be manipulated that much by any rating agency threats. It will be the economic performances of the local economy and, of course, these external factors such as dollar demand, risk sentiment, our investors taking on risks of stock markets and so on. And this, of course, would impact the carry trade and those higher yield currencies such as the South African rand and the Turkish lira.
Jamil, having said that then, let's take a look at the dollar, because it's been rising against a basket of currencies where the outlook for continued policy normalization and perhaps a more hawkish Fed appointee down the line has been a bolstering support. What are you making of the movement we're seeing there, and just how sustainable the kind of momentum we've seen so far is?
Now, this is a difficult question. I think it's a very interesting debate. And nobody really knows what the outcome and what the outlook is for the dollar right now, because we're seeing some quite unconvincing swings in either direction. On one side, you would argue that the dollar is still oversold at these levels if you look at the economic performances and the outlook for the Federal Reserve. However, others would state that because the expectations for the U.S. interest rate rise in December are still priced at around 80%, that the dollar has probably been priced in. So perhaps this is the potential for Trump policies coming through. Is it convincing enough to say that the dollar looks like a strong buy in the longer term? I'm not so sure, because we've still got a lot of skepticism over the tax plans, over the campaign promises, and it's probably the Trump factor that is going to continue to play the longer role in the dollar over the longer term. So it's still a matter of wait and see. It's very difficult to pinpoint what direction the dollar is going to move on any trading day as it stands.
Well, skepticism seems to be the name of the game, Jamil, because we've had sterling, for example, dipping to a six-day low, and that after showing British wage growth is still lagging behind. Also, how feasible it's going to be, or putting into question how feasible it's going to be for the Bank of England to start tightening policy on that end. What are your expectations?
The sterling for developed currencies is turning to the most volatile one, as you would expect the South African currency for the emerging markets. Look, the Bank of England right now are in a very interesting and I would say unenvious position because they are facing extremely high levels of inflation. It's beyond the target. And on that basis, the Bank of England should raise interest rates. However, if you look at the economic data, if you look at the wage increases or the wage growth in this case, and if you look at the ongoing uncertainty of the Brexit, EU referendum, and how the EU negotiations are going to be, it warrants lower borrowing rates. So really, it's a catch-22 right now. Do the Bank of England raise interest rates because of the inflation risks, or do they keep it unchanged or perhaps even lower because of the ongoing uncertainty? And this is what's driving the volatility in the pound. It's turning into the most volatile currency when it comes to the developed markets. Yeah. And it's all based on this Bank of England sensitivity.
Well, we wait and see, Jamil. Let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Jamil Ahmed is Vice President of Corporate Development and Market Research at FX. And that's where we leave things with you for this evening. Of course, I'll see you back at 7 o'clock.